Thank you for that song. I hope that that wasn't vain words. That was coming from the depth of your heart, and I trust it was. I've sensed that this week, that you would rather have Jesus than anything else. In fact, there's nothing else worth living for. While we're in this world and while we have to do with the things of this life and all of that, there's nothing that will satisfy the heart of man than that connection that John was talking about this morning with Christ and having Him as our Lord. That's what this is all about, even as I share, and while I can't maybe share all the things I'd like to and balancing and all of that, that's the heart of the message. Even when we're thinking about very earthly things like possessions and resources, money and all of those things, that's my heart that I'd like to convey. Before we get into the message, would you stand with me? We'd like to just seek the Lord here for this message. Father, we pray that you would come and be with us here once again, Lord, and pray that you would anoint your word, cause it to be life and breath to us. Lord, break this bread of life to us this morning. And Lord, would you enable me to share even the things that you have done in my own life and heart and the things that I want to share in such a way that it would be contagious, Lord. Lord, I desire that this whole subject would resonate in the hearts of each one of these youth, that each one of them has an extremely important place in your kingdom. So have your way. Break this bread to us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I've been looking forward to giving this topic here this morning, and it's not because it's the last one, but it's because it's the one that blesses me the most and is the most exciting to me as I look at the whole context of finances and so forth. And, you know, usually you save the best for last, right? And I thought about different words to use. It's kind of the crowning message of the series here. And I appreciated what Brother John shared about missing the mark. And I thought about that in relation to the finances and so on. We certainly don't want to miss the mark. When it comes to how we handle finances, how we deal with finances, and the practical everyday things of life, our possessions and resources, we certainly want all to be to the glory of God. That's the heart. In the Old Testament, just as some introduction here to the subject, which I haven't given you yet, but the Old Testament seems to give us a lot of the how-tos to conduct a good business and maybe even the acquiring of wealth. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about some of those things. But as I turn the pages into the New Testament, the picture changes. It's not the same as the Old Testament was. The Old Testament was a very literal kingdom, and God wanted to bless His people, and He blessed them in a very literal way. But in the New Testament, I see some of that has changed. And with the coming of Christ and His example as well, the New Testament seems to focus on what our heart attitude should be and how we should use the possessions and the resources, the wealth that God has blessed us with, how we should use it. Paul says in Philippians 4:12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. In Ephesians 4:28, as we had that verse at the very onset of the series, thinking about the purpose and the perspective that we need to have concerning money, one of the purposes for money is that we may have to give to him that needeth. That's very, very important as we look at finances. Acts 20:35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. And there we just want to lift him up here. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's why this subject is so exciting to me. Because it is more blessed to give than to receive. Just take a look at the life of Jesus and follow his pattern of life in the 3.5 years that he ministered and so forth. It doesn't give us a lot of details before that, but Jesus poured himself out for others, sacrificially, giving, and so forth. What a beautiful example of sacrifice, compassion, loving care. And Jesus was always concerned about others, not about himself. He was here as a servant. What a beautiful way to hold our possessions and the things, the resources that God has given to us. So I'd like to write the title up here now. Giving, the most blessed way of living. Giving in the kingdom of God is one of the most rewarding things in a believer's life. And I'm not just talking about pennies. I'm talking about giving. The whole perspective of giving. Giving is the most blessed way of living. Giving helps us not to be self-focused. Giving keeps covetousness at bay. Giving is more blessed than receiving. And giving is to lay up treasures in heaven. When God has blessed us with more than we need, he then gives us opportunity to share this bounty with others who have need. I'd like to share a little story here that I found. I'm not sure where I found it, actually. It says this: there was a man who dreamed, he died and went to heaven. I'm not that great on dreams and all of that, and although, thank God, sometimes uses dreams to teach us some things. So he dreamed this dream that he died and went to heaven. An angel was then showing him around heaven. And the angel asked if he wanted to see where he would live. Oh, yes, he answered. And so they started down this one street. The mansions were large and elaborate. The angel was telling him the owner of each of the mansions as they were walking along. They were all people he knew. And as they kept going along, he noticed now that the mansions were getting smaller and smaller. Till finally they came to the place. Here it is, said the angel, pointing to a few boards on the grounds. The bewildered man asked, this is it? This is all I get? Yes, said the angel sadly, this is all you sent up. Matthew 6:19-21 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I think Brother John was sharing in his session this morning about some treasures. He was talking about different things that people put in place of Christ, and some of it's sports, and he was naming off a number of things. You should have kept going there, John, but I was thinking about the same thing in light of treasures. You know, the treasures of today. What are the treasures of today? The conformity, again, that the world wants to push in upon us. Some of these treasures are the sports trophies and all the glamorous things that they want to pump up about sports and so forth. But then it comes down a little closer home, maybe to us. And it's the big fish on the wall, and it's the big trophy bucks and the big moose head and the bear and all of these things that they capitalize, you know, and the artifacts. In fact, I question some of those things. I'm not sure where to put all of that, but I put a big question mark on those things. And the reason I do is while, you know, there's a lot of pride. Let me just say it that way. There's a lot of pride hanging on that wall. And I'm not sure that really glorifies God. What do you think? Does it really glorify God? And so I put just a word of caution out there. In my heart and life, I want to promote Jesus Christ and lift Him up. Because He is my treasure. We can put our treasures on the wall, and I guess it would just simply display our heart a bit. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And when you make kingdom investments, when you make investments into the kingdom of God, your heart follows that. And you begin to lay up treasures in heaven. It's going to affect your heart. It's going to affect what you like to talk about. It's going to affect your love. When you lay up treasures in heaven, another reason why this subject becomes very exciting to me, giving the most blessed way of living. What we're passionate about, we spend money for. So what is your passion? What is your passion? Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Verse 16, Jesus spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. We could stop there and we could have a whole message right there. And we've been talking about finances this week and how we should handle those finances. Here was a man that had more than enough. He had plenty. And what did he decide to do? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and I'll build greater. Why? And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. He was looking at an increase. He was looking at having more than sufficient. He already had sufficient. He was looking above that even yet. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. You know, for my retirement, maybe. For that, you know, when I turn 60, 65, I can retire. I can get myself a nice camper and go traveling all the places I've desired to go. I don't know what all he had in mind here, but he had in mind to lay up for many years ahead. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then what? Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So while yesterday we talked about the spending, we talked about a lot of different aspects of money, let's not forget this. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, bringing it on yourself, and is not rich toward God. And so with Jesus teaching here and alongside what the early church practiced, We have a picture of what we should do with the extra that God blesses us with. He says we should not lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, which would indicate money sitting around that's useless, with no purpose. We have too much, like this man had too much. Though there is a place, like I said yesterday, there may be a cause, there may be a need coming in the future, and so you put yourself a area there of finances that, well, I'm going to need that $5,000 because I need to replace a vehicle or some other need that's coming up. I'm not talking about being reckless with our finances. But with that also comes the warning in 1 Timothy 6, and I'll read that, to not put our trust in uncertain riches. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. That's where we should put our trust. Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. And that word communicate has the idea in the Greek of liberal, being liberal in your giving, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation. There's that eternal perspective, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. In Proverbs 23, verse 4 and 5, he says, labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Verse 5 says, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, and then they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. If we put our faith and our trust in our riches, we're bound for trouble. We are bound for trouble. Our faith needs to be in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And then he gives us some perspectives of those things, that they do good, be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. And I just wanted to share some of these verses with us to help us to get an overall picture of what the New Testament teaches concerning the accumulation of wealth. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15 says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. There's a goal I would have this morning, that all of you could become, and myself included, that we all together could become like the house of Stephanas, who addicted themselves to the work of the ministry. It got a hold of them. You know what an addiction is, right? You have to have it. I talked about an addiction here. Was it yesterday? I talked about it with the Mountain Dew, you know. And that's an addiction. And would to God we would become so addicted to giving and ministering in the kingdom of God, it just gets a hold of us. A life poured out for God, your time, your resources, your possessions, pouring them out for the people of God, for His work, for the community. There's so many avenues we could go down. But something that stood out to me this morning as I read it, it says it was not just Stephanas, but it was the house of Stephanas. It was his family. He got his family so involved and so engaged, and they were, it says, they were addicted to the work of the ministry. All right. I just want to throw out some kinds of giving from the Old Testament, and then we want to flip over to the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, there was different ways of giving. There was tithing. There was first fruits, free will offerings, and an offering of thanksgiving. And there may have been a few more that I didn't mention here. But when the people brought to build the tabernacle. It says in Exodus 35, verse 21 and 22, it says, they came everyone whose heart stirred him up. Oh, I like that. That's the kind of giving we want. A heart that's stirred up towards that need. And everyone whom his spirit made willing. You know, sometimes we have to be made willing to give of what we have. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation and for all his service and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, both sides of the room here, as many as were willing hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold. And every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. They didn't look at it as, oh, it's for the tabernacle. No, they looked at it as, I'm giving to the Lord. Wow. Someone has said under the Old Testament law, the tithing we read about was 10% and of their increase. And then, but with all the other offerings that they would bring, it equivalented to about 23% of their increase. That's amazing. That's amazing. If you know any figures in business, you know, you set yourself a percentage that you would like to see profit in your business. And I've heard figures like, you know, if it's 15% that you're looking for, it's hardly worth your time to be in that business if all you're getting is about 15% increase. You want to shoot at least for 25 or 30. And you think about 23% going to the Lord. Yeah, that's a pretty good chunk, isn't it? All right, we want to go to the New Testament. There we have giving as well. In Matthew 6, we have the Jesus talking about alms giving or giving to the poor. In Acts chapter 6, we have taking care of the widows, ordaining deacons, and obviously there was giving involved there to supply for the needs that widows have. In Acts chapter 11, verse 29, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Here they were sending relief money because there was a dearth in Jerusalem, and so they gathered together money to send as relief to those brothers. In Romans 15, verse 25 to 26, Paul says this, but now I go up unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. There we have giving again. The money that was sent to Paul by the Philippian people there, In Philippians 4:16, for even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. So we have alms, we have care of the widows, we have sending relief, we have giving to the poor, and we have giving to spread the gospel. They were giving to Paul to spread the gospel further. So we have a number of different aspects of giving here. So, I'd like to take a little bit of time to focus on how should we give? How should we give? The heart attitude towards giving. And so I have 12 attitudes of giving here that I put up here. And I put them up here because I'm going to be reading the scriptures, and then you can start identifying where I'm going here as we go along. So I might not be point by point for you, but I have them all up here on the board, the 12 attitudes of giving. And while a few of those, you may wonder about the attitude of it, but you get the message. You get the point of the heart behind the giving that we find in the New Testament. Most of these verses are out of the New Testament. I think I have one in the Old Testament from the beginning here. In Deuteronomy 16, verse 17, he says, every man shall give as he is able according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. So there again, God is incorporated in all of this. God giving to us, we being the steward. And as he is able, that's the attitude of the heart. As he is able, he says we should give. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, and here it is, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. That was the instruction that Paul was giving to Corinthians there to help bring the funds together. And then I believe, actually, as you read that, it was the same instance where they were going to take this money then and take it to Jerusalem to help the in the dearth and the poor saints there as well. I'm not sure what kind of collection they had, and I don't know how many weeks it went before the Apostle Paul actually got there to pick up this collection. But it could have been a very sizable sum that he was carrying to Jerusalem to minister, as God hath prospered him. All right, next, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. That's a principle. We understand that principle of sowing, don't we? When I was a farmer and I wanted to go out there and plant corn, I still remember the figures of the kind of seed you wanted in the ground per acre. For corn, you wanted between, depends if you were doing shelled corn or ear corn, or whether it was just for silage, you wanted somewhere between 30,000 and 36,000 seeds per acre. And so, and that was to give it enough space so the ears could develop properly and so on. If you wanted silage corn, you might bump that up to 38,000 or 40,000. And then that would produce a larger volume of crop. And we know, I understood that concept of the more seeds you got in the ground, the more is going to grow. And he's saying in this thing of giving, it's the same way. You sow bountifully, what are you going to do? You're going to reap bountifully. Why, it's almost like one plus one. You know, it's pretty easy. It's not really difficult. All right, the next one. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. As he purposeth in his heart. We're still in 2 Corinthians 9. There's actually a few of them in this portion, in verse 6 and 7. As he purposeth in his heart. So now, God has blessed us. God has given us a bounty. But you know what God does then? He lets it up to us. How much do you want to give? My God's amazing. Why did he do that? Why didn't he just give us some set rules to go by? And then we would feel obliged. We would feel all right. Oh, I did my part. That's not the kind of heart that God wanted. God wanted a heart that is so, it comes back to this, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So he's giving us the ability to choose how much we want to just give to back to him and his kingdom and in service. And this doesn't just all have to do with money. Okay, I want that clear. And we'll hopefully iron some of that out. But it does have to do with money. It does have to do with finances. But it also has to do, every single one of you has an opportunity to give in the kingdom of God. Whether you have pennies or don't have pennies, you have an opportunity to give. I believe we're at number 5. Is that correct? Number 5. It's in the same context here again of 2 Corinthians 9. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly. Now that's an attitude, isn't it? That's truly an attitude of the heart, not grudgingly. How much value do you think is that God, as He looks down and He watches how we're giving, whether it's money or of ourselves or talent or whatever, and He looks down and He says, you know, He smiles, wow, look at that family who's addicted themselves to the ministry. They just love hospitality. They just love to give of themselves and their possessions to bless a stranger. They just are so blessed to be able to do that for the kingdom of God. And I believe God's smiling down on it. How about the time when you feel like you've had enough and you just about can't see, but you get this phone call from I don't know what his name is anymore, and he wants to come and spend 2 days at my house. What's my heart attitude? I just want to lift that up. But not grudgingly. We gladly do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. The number 6 follows right on the heels of this. Not of necessity. Not because in my head I know what I should be doing. And so because of my knowledge and just because I have to do this, you know, I wouldn't be a very good shining light, would I, if I wouldn't? No, not that way. Not of necessity. But of a, well, what does he say here? He steps on and he says, let me just back up into that verse and just kind of read it in context again. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth, number 7, a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. Beautiful attitude of the heart. Now Luke 14, verse 13 to 14, he says, but when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. That's treasures in heaven. And I think God's people should get more involved, including myself, in this kind of giving. A giving where they can't recompense you again. You're not looking to be invited over to their house next week because you invited them to your house this week. Not that kind. Well, that's a blessing to have fellowship like that. I'm not knocking that. But how many times have we brought in the lame, the poor, the blind, those who are rejected in society, and just ministered to them in a very physical, natural way? I wonder what we could even do in our communities. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be amazing if we collaborated together in our churches and said, you know what, let's just set a day aside and we're going to fix a meal. And then we're going to go out in the highways and byways and we're going to pull in these kind of people. We have to do some homework beforehand, but we want to go out and bring these people in and just sit there and bless them. I wonder how many of those would get converted. That's pretty powerful. To do it to those who could not recompense you again. Moving on, Matthew 6, verse 1 to 4 says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and that thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly, that thine alms may be in secret. There's something beautiful about giving in secret, by the way, and that gets very addictive, very contagious. And I'd like to pass that contagiousness on to you. There is something beautiful about taking responsibility yourself just to do some little deed. It may not be a penny, but it might be something else that you can do. And you do it to bless somebody else because you see a need and you don't even disclose who you are. You just bless them. That's the kind of giving that God smiles on. He says, you're not even letting your left hand know what your right hand is doing. In other words, yeah, it's a secret. It's a secret. And you just bless others that way. I want to lift that up. In Romans 12, verse 8. Breaking in here, he says, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. We don't have to get all complicated about how we give. It's not necessarily the $1,200, $1,500, $3,000 you give. That's not necessarily what God smiles on. Even though maybe He will, if God has blessed you with that kind of finances and you can give that way. But do it with simplicity. It might be the simplest act of kindness. And it could be a great blessing to someone. Let him do it with simplicity. Which that word simplicity actually means sincerity. Not self-seeking. You're not looking for anything. You're just there to give. Galatians 6, verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, we're on number 11. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. As we have therefore opportunity. Do you know what that speaks of? That speaks of someone who is looking, who is actively engaged. How can I, what could I do as an individual who wants to serve God, who's sacrificially giving himself like Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about, that we present ourselves to God, a living sacrifice. It's a person who is looking for the opportunity. Whether it's in the church body, he talks about, especially to those who are of the household of faith. But it goes beyond that. But especially so in your own congregation, are you looking for opportunity to give, to be a blessing as an individual? And then the last one, number 12, sacrificially. Giving sacrificially. Mark 12, 41 to 44. Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make up a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples. Says, disciples, come here. I want to show you something that just happened. This is exciting. He says, verily I say unto you that, and he called them unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. I don't know if Jesus was adding all their money together and saying that out of all that money that went into that treasury, those two mites were more important? Possibly. It's almost how he indicates it here. For all they, he says, did cast in of their abundance. But she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living, Do you know how much a farthing was? Any ideas? Was it mentioned anywhere else in the Bible? A farthing? Yeah. Do you relate to sparrows? Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, the Bible says? That's what for a value that was, that farthing. And she cast those two in. I don't think she was sounding any trumpets. In fact, she was probably pretty embarrassed. These other people, I could just imagine, you know, they're carrying their bag of wealth and coming up to the place where they dump it in and like, you know, dumping all their wealth in there. Wow. Walking off feeling pretty good about themselves. And you know, and there's this whole line of people, and here's this poor widow comes up there, and I don't know. I don't know how she was responding. Maybe she was just tucking her hand up like this, you know, and just and kept on walking. Maybe she felt a little embarrassed about how little she could give. But do you know what was in her heart? Her heart was to give, and to give sacrificially. She saw it as an opportunity to give to the Lord. Matthew 10, verse 29. Actually, we talked about that. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? That's where that scripture is. And you talk about a poor woman. That's all she had. She cast in all her living. You talk about a sacrifice, a passion to give. And to think, some of us probably have been guilty of sitting here thinking, well, what do I really have to give? I don't really have any pennies even to my name to give. We don't have to go there. There's plenty God has given to us to give. Jesus seemed more interested in the size of the sacrifices, of the size of the sacrifice versus the size of the gift. That was what Jesus noted. The size of the sacrifice versus the size of the gift. Those who've been through the greatest hardships often are the most motivated to give. They can feel for that need. Your house burns down, and somebody steps in, the brotherhood steps in, the community steps in, and they give and they share and they replenish those things that were lost, and everyone rallies and gets together, and it's very humbling, very humbling. But at the end of that, if someone else's house burns down a few years later, guess who'll be the first people there? It's those kind of people that went through that kind of hardship. Here's a quote from John Wesley. Earn all you can. Save all you can. And give all you can. The more resources that we have, money, possessions, whatever the resource, the greater the accountability before God, how we use those resources. The abundant that God blesses us with, it's a greater accountability. And by the way, the more money in your savings account, the greater the accountability as to what you're going to do with it. Let's think about some of the opportunities that we have to give in our day, in our time. I think tithing is a good practice. I really do. I think tithing is a good practice. Giving 10% of your increase, that's a good place to start. A recognition that all that I have, God has blessed me with. I think it's a good place to start. But then there's also a giving of our resources and possessions and using them in a way to further the kingdom of God. How about that vehicle, young man, that you kind of adore pretty good? Would you let a dear brother, a preacher of the gospel, who doesn't have a vehicle, would you allow him to take it and go and preach the gospel somewhere? You know, those are just little things. We don't think about those things. What if he spoils it a little? You know, where's our hearts in giving to the kingdom of God? Proverbs 3, verse 7 through 10 says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." There is a reward, a blessing pronounced on those who can give with all these attitudes of the heart and give to God and to His kingdom that way. Whether it's 10% or whatever the Lord lays upon your heart beyond that. In Malachi 3, verse 8 through 10, these verses have challenged my own heart. "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" And God says, "In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat enough in mine house. And prove me, test me," God says. "Now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive." Sometimes we get the feeling and the idea that, well, I can just barely scrape by from one month to the next and getting all my expenses. So if I give 10% yet to God, I mean, I'm going to be running behind. Well, that's truly human reasoning. God says, "You test me on that one. You test me on that one. Let's see where it goes." And if you're looking for an overflow, if you're giving money, that 10% on your increase, and you're looking for God to richly reward you back with money and possessions and so forth, by the way, you're probably giving for the wrong reason, with a wrong attitude in that giving. Because God's dividends come back in a little different fashion sometimes. But He pours into that vessel Himself, like John D. was sharing this morning. When you give, and you give with these attitudes in your heart, and you give willingly to the Lord in that way, and you just find a blessing in that, God will come and He will fill your life, filled with His presence, filled with His joy and His blessing. And that's what gets so contagious. Because we want some more of that. We want God to be poured out in our own lives. The Levites were not given an inheritance among the tribes of Israel, but rather they received a tithe part from the people for their service to the Lord. That 10% that was given went to the Levites to provide for the things as they served in the tabernacle and they served in the offerings, and they weren't given an inheritance of land that was missing there. But they were to receive of the people the tithes and offerings. That's how they survived. But was that where it stopped? They were supposed to take of what they received then from the people, and they themselves took a tenth of that and gave it back to the Lord. What they had received became a heave offering to the Lord. It says in Numbers 18:21, "And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tithe in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they served, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation." Verse 26, "Thus speak unto the Levites and say unto them, when ye shall take of the children of Israel the tithe which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then ye shall offer up a heave offering of it to the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe." I found that interesting. I don't find in the New Testament, though, necessarily a mandate that you have to pay a tithe or that you have to give a tithe. I don't find that mandate in the New Testament. but more a people who are rejoicing in the blessings that God has poured out on them, and they are willing to give 10%, 15, 20, as their heart is made willing. They're willing to give and to distribute. That's what I find. It's happened frequently back home. Someone at the end of the service maybe stands up and says, I just want to thank whoever put that money in the mail in our mailbox. God bless you. Or in the vehicle. And would that be to God that would just keep flowing out, and that there would be such a blessing poured out. And you can do those kind of things. It doesn't have to be big. It can be very simple. And it may not be money. Sometimes it's food. Sometimes it's other things. You talk about a blessing. That's the kind of giving that can get contagious. And you talk about fun, young people. To go surprise someone like that in secret. Just get it done in secret and they don't know where it came from. Praise the Lord. And just giving of yourself that way. Ladies, there's meals to fix for those busy moms. There's things you can do. You know, remember what I said about looking for opportunity. Looking how we can bless others. What a blessing that is. Maybe it's just giving of your time. You know that busy mom. You know how she struggles to keep the household functioning with all those little children. And maybe you just want to stop in or call her up and say, you know, there's just some way I could bless you. I'd just like to stop in there and have a few hours here. And maybe I could tend the children while you do a project that you've long been wanting to do. Or maybe you want me to do the project. So that, you know, it just the list goes on. Of things we can do and in giving to bless others. Giving in our local community. How about those elderly who need a visit? And we fall short on these things. Us as adults, we fall short of them. You know, we have a lot going. We have a lot of things to do. But some of you younger men, some of you sisters, you have some time on hand. Find yourself people that you can go and minister to and just be a blessing. Obviously under your parents' guidance and their blessing. But find those elderly people. They're just looking and longing for someone to come and just say hi. You know, and just sit down and, you know, these. In fact, if you're a little shy, this is a good exercise because those people, you don't even have to say anything. You can just sit there and they just talk and talk and talk and talk. Because they need someone to talk to. What a blessed opportunity to do that. There's widows. In your congregations, is there any widows in your congregation? We have at least one in our congregation. Do you have any in your congregation? A few of you have. Widows, I think it's a blessing to give yourself in that respect. Visiting them, sharing with them, visiting the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. The Bible says that's true religion. How about helping a neighbor? How about stopping and changing that flat tire for someone? Maybe you know of someone who needs something fixed. And they either don't get time to do it. Maybe it's a widow and she doesn't have the experience to do it. And young men, sometimes it's as simple as just that little doorknob is just not working right. It's not latching right. Maybe just stop in and just help them out. Sometimes it's cutting firewood. Maybe it's just a need to split some or stack some. Here's one I think we should maybe do more often. And we do it for others in faraway states. We'll go fix their roofs and we'll go and minister that way. But how about doing it locally? How about driving down the, you know, around the community and you see this kind of a shambled house, maybe not such a kept up place. And the roof is just kind of not so good. The shingles are flying off or broken, and you know that roof is probably leaking or going to leak soon. And you know how to do roofing. How about just knocking on that door and saying, you know, could we somehow assist you here? We'll provide the labor. Maybe you want to provide the materials. Maybe they can't provide the materials. We could take up a little offering. And we could come up with the roofing materials and just go bless that person. I'm just throwing out some ideas. You take it from there. There are opportunities waiting for us. And I wonder what it would do in our community. I know what it would do for us as churches in our own hearts, because it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I know instances that has taken place, and it's been a tremendous blessing. Hebrews 25, verse 37 to 40. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee to drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. That's powerful. And as we're changing that roof, we can be doing it as unto the Lord. We have opportunities. Those are some local opportunities, and it goes well beyond that. But opportunities we may have abroad, beyond our communities. There's missions, supporting your own missionary or other missions could be a blessing. Sending letters and cards, or maybe committing yourself that weekly you're going to write to that missionary. And you're just going to be there to encourage them. It might not be a long letter. It might just be a few paragraphs. But you just keep in contact. By the way, missionaries really appreciate that. Maybe it's writing someone in prison. Maybe it's visiting someone in prison, getting involved in prison ministry. Then we have opportunities like Christian Aid has provided many ministries there, and different programs and opportunities to give. To mention a few here, there's and they didn't tell me to do this, but I think I can do this. Just because on this whole aspect of giving is such a blessed way of living. Bibles. They have a ministry that you can give to there in supplying Bibles. Here's a testimony of a family that received one of these Bibles. Words cannot express the gratitude that our family feels for the Bible you provided for us. We treasure it and read it every day. Reading the words of our Lord makes our heart overflow with joy. For many years we longed to know the truth, and now we understand more every day, and our faith becomes stronger. God bless you for your sacrifice and giving so that we can know the truth. That comes from a restricted country. Do you remember the $3 coffee? It's not too hard to give for these purposes. There's programs like Support a Widow, Support for the Elderly, Support an Orphan. And here's some testimonies. Here's one of a widow. My husband died in 1990, but God has blessed me with 4 children. My children help me some, but they have their own families. I send a beautiful thank you for the box and money which I received each month from CAM. I always pray for those who send the box. I use the money for my little kerosene business. I buy several gallons of kerosene and put it at my house. Then I sell it in small bottles. This helps me make good use of the money and makes it increase, so I feel like I'm doing my best to try to provide for myself with the little that God has given me. It comes from Haiti. An orphan that received support because someone cared in Kenya, Africa. My father died in 1995, and my mother died in 1997. I was left with my grandmother, who was totally blind, and would go with her to the streets to beg for handouts. When I was 7 years old, my grandmother passed away. I was then taken to the home of my uncle. I can remember well the beatings that I received from the woman of the house. It was during this time that I despaired of life and wished that I could die. One day, a kind man heard of my sufferings. He took me into his home and made it possible for me to go to school. The time came that a program from kind people overseas began to assist me and make it possible for me to live a better life. I am grateful to God for pulling me out of a terrible life. I pray that in the future I may also assist other orphans. You see what happened in our own hearts. What a beautiful opportunity we have. This may be more for your sisters in giving of your time. Those widows. I was talking about the ones in our churches, but how about other widows in the community that you may know of? There's something about remembering the date when their loved one passed away. And when that anniversary of that date comes around, send them a card. Just write a little note. I know your loved one passed away at such and such a time, and I'm just wanting to encourage you. I'm praying for you over this time. God bless you. You know, simple things that we can do. That means the world to a widow. That I'm not forgotten after all. Everyone else may have forgotten, but someone remembered that my loved one passed away. I look across this audience. I don't know what all your talents are, but I see a lot of potential. To go back to our communities, to look for opportunities, to look for ways that we could somehow be giving to the kingdom of God in some way with my talents that I have. Sometimes it's singing. Sometimes it's just getting a little group together, going to minister to someone in song. I know there's disaster relief programs that some of you have went on. Isn't that a blessing? How many of you enjoyed that? When you went on a project just to help somebody else. I think we all enjoy that. We can do that around home. But it's a blessing even to go to other lands to do it as well. There's things like volunteer work, and I would encourage that. I would encourage volunteer work. Going somewhere and being spent for the cause of Christ. You're not getting any pay. And you're just giving your life and your abilities, your talents, both sides of the room here, and giving them for service to the Lord. Caring for some elderly. Maybe it's a cripple. The list could just go on and on. There are so many opportunities in the kingdom of God, young people. It's endless. The opportunities, as we therefore have opportunity, let's do good. Turn your zeal. Young people, you have some zeal, right? Do you have any energy? A lot more than I do. You have a lot of energy. Turn it into things like this. It'll be the most rewarding thing you can do. No game is ever going to come close to what you'll experience when you engage your heart with those 12 attitudes in giving. And you will find it the most blessed way of living. There's no games that'll ever match what you'll experience when you pour yourself out like that. The satisfaction of reaching out to a needy person and to give of yourself, whatever talent God has given you, to give of yourself. And not only will it bless you, because it is more blessed to give than to receive, but it will bless the other person, that person that has need. God has blessed us here in America not to increase our standard of living, but our standard of giving. America stands as probably one of the richest countries. We have more in America than many countries do. God has blessed us not to increase our standard of living, but our standard of giving. I'll leave you with that. God bless you as you chart a course from here. I appreciate your eagerness to learn and to grow in these areas and to be taught. May you be fulfilled in being a servant to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May that fill your heart with joy and blessing. God is good, isn't He? He is very good to us. It's been a joy to be here. Thank you for your attentiveness. Lord bless you all.